Hello and welcome to episode 199 of the Enough Podcast.
Some pressure.
My name is Mike Hurley, and I am joined, as always, as I have been on the previous 198 episodes. Well, I think I've been on 196 of them, but on all 199 episodes has been Mr. Patrick Ryan.
It has been. It has been every single one of those, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I've probably done something like 196, 197 of them, because I took a couple of holidays. But you, sir, have never taken a holiday from this show.
Maybe I should. Maybe. Oh, that would be cool. Who would we get to stand in for me?
For episode 200?
Wouldn't that be great?
No, that'd be terrible. You have to be on your 200th episode.
That would be awesome to actually have someone else stand in for me. Who would we get? Who would do that?
I don't think there is anybody that could even come close to you.
Oh, there's plenty of people who could fill my shoes.
No, you have big feet.
I do have big feet, actually.
There you go, see? Not many people could fill your shoes.
Did you know I have two different sized feet?
I didn't know that.
We discussed that. I thought maybe I think we did discuss that. We discussed that like back when the couple of shows or whatever that I've done about like barefoot running and Vibrams and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we did.
And I mentioned that the reason why those five-finger Vibram shoes don't really work for me is because I have two completely different size feet. I mean, they're a full size difference. Which I guess, from my understanding, is not that unusual. Mm. I also am one of those people that can taste the chemical tastes in cilantro as well, for what it's worth. Maybe there's some correlation there. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm having a really interesting week, and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, see, these are the weeks. These are the ones to remember.
So I've got a super compacted work week because I'm got 2 days out to make one for one meeting.
What? Huh?
Yeah, I have to travel across the country for a meeting on Friday, so all of most of Thursday and a big chunk of Friday is traveling because I have to FaceTime this meeting as in face to face.
Wow!
To repair a client relationship.
Is this in Sheffield or something? Where is this?
I'm going to Glasgow.
Oh, Glasgow! That's a 20-minute plane hop.
It's an hour and 10 minutes on the plane.
Hour and ten. Okay.
And it takes me 2 hours to get to the airport.
But England's just an island. You drive across in an hour and a half, right?
That's all I have to say to you.
I mean, it can't be much bigger than Hawaii.
It is, I think. Well, at least it feels it is. Not that I've ever been to Hawaii. I would love to go to Hawaii.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I've got that. So I'm only in the office Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that, you know, kind of throws me out. It means that no matter what else happens this week, I have to do all of my recordings these days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
basically 5 pounds of muck in a 2-pound bag.
Yep, and have to try and squeeze the news in strange times and places in the daily news show that I do. So, that would be interesting. I'll probably do a really early show on Thursday and a really late show on Friday.
How's that been going, the news?
I enjoy it, you know. It's very interesting. I feel like I know a lot more about the world and technology because I'm actually paying attention to finding little stories or just, you know, reading the ones that the 5x5 team find for me. Mm-hmm. And it is not as difficult as I thought it would be. I haven't had any negative comments, which surprises me. Because I've had, and you know, maybe every day I get a couple of people tell me that they enjoy it or, you know, respond to feedback. I have had a disaster or two to already report, which is interesting. I didn't really know what to do with the Boston stuff.
Well, and especially because your take on it, I mean, despite the fact that you're doing this for, you know, on you know, an American podcasting network. I mean, your take on it is still that of a, I hate to say it, of an outsider, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, here in America, it feels, you know, these things, especially since 9/11, and especially because we don't necessarily have a lot of these things occur on our soil, despite appearances to the contrary. They, you know, it feels like it's an affront, it's an attack on all of us, you know? I
think most Western civilizations react, or would react, in the way that America reacted. So if that happened on Sunday past at the marathon here, it would have been very similar, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, it is, you've been infiltrated.
Yeah. Point.
And that's a very different feeling for us, because we are very safe, a lot safer than a lot of the world.
Right, exactly. You know, I've got a friend who is, you know, Israeli by birth. He lives here now, but he actually lives in Boston, in the Boston area, but that's the point that he made, and I saw several other people make it on Twitter, which was, yeah, welcome to Israel, welcome to Syria, welcome to, you know, this is how it feels for us every single day, right?
Yeah. And see, that's one of the interesting things, right, is then there's this bit in the back of my head, it's like, why aren't you reporting on Syria every day? So I was trying to think, what do I do then, you know, what how do I do this? And basically, the stories that I picked, or that the guys picked for me, and the ones that I chose to read, were ones that had a technology angle to them. Mm-hmm. So whether that be talking about face detection, or talking about what Reddit was doing, mm-hmm. what the people mm-hmm. on Reddit were doing, mm-hmm. so finding a way to link it. But then I felt like I couldn't ignore it,
mm-hmm.
because in the show's sort of intro, I say it's the only news that matters. So kind of have to talk about it. But then it's interesting, because the way that I look at it is, and the way that I will probably continue to do this in the future, if there is an event, no matter what that event is, that consumes social media mm-hmm. in the way that the Boston Marathon and everything surrounding it did, mm-hmm. I will most likely cover it on the show. That is how I came to that conclusion.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair, right? I how could you ignore it? And it's, you know, certainly interesting. And they're coming for you now, Michael.
I know. I said the wrong thing.
You said the wrong thing. That's how it works here. You know, the interesting thing, of course, is that all of this stuff increasingly has this technology angle to it, right? I mean, the protests in Iran were all about, you know, how they were leveraging Twitter and other quick communication tools to organize themselves and things like that. You know, same thing with Syria, same thing with, you know, with, you know, Arab Spring in general and Egypt and, you know, a lot of the news about what was going on in Cyprus was coming out and sneaking out over social media, and because, you know, technology makes us so globally close, as it were.
Yeah, it's a real interesting balance to try and find. Like, it's a very difficult line, mm-hmm. and I think it's just one of those things that I'm going to try and see how I go as I go, because I wasn't initially sure what to do, because mm-hmm. the bombing happened after the news was recorded, so mm-hmm. I had the evening to think about what I would report. And then on that episode, I kind of put it to the listeners and was like, do you want to hear this? And there were a handful of people that said yes, and nobody said no. Mm-hmm. So I can only assume that people kind of want to hear it. And I've had a lot of people very kindly saying that they thought that I dealt with the situation from a reporting standpoint well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, very interesting, especially for someone who, as I have said and continue to say, I avoid the news, mm-hmm. like the actual this is the world news, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't like to feel scared and yeah. unsafe. I was, for a couple of weeks, totally wrapped and consumed by what was going on in Korea because yeah. I was scared.
Yeah.
And am uneasy and find it very uneasy. Not scared for my own life, but scared for other people and what could happen, you know? So I don't like to really concentrate on those things. So I'm not really talking about, you know, those sorts of things, these long running overarching things. It's interesting. I'm trying to find the balance for something that is quite new for me. But it's interesting. Mm. It is interesting. I am really starting to appreciate how many things happen in technology every day.
Oh, unbelievable.
Even on the quiet days. Today was a quiet day. Why would you announce anything or talk, you know, on Apple earnings day?
Mm-hmm.
But I still had like 10 stories.
Yeah.
And I whittled that down from about 20. There are always things to talk about. There are a lot of recurring stories. I'm noticing that. So talking about the proposed internet sales tax, I've been talking about that probably. I've spoken about it today and yesterday and a bit last week. So mm-hmm. there's new stories and as they develop and unfold. It's very interesting, actually, and I'm enjoying it, as maybe you can tell, a lot mm-hmm. more than I thought I was going to. I didn't think I would not enjoy it, but I thought that it would be like a little thing that I do every day, and it was part of my routine now. And I kind of also see it as a way to warm up my voice
mm-hmm.
For anything else that I'm doing later yeah. in the day. And it gives a structure, but I'm actually looking forward to doing it. So, and I've been I've been doing it for about 2 weeks, and it's good. It's good. Two, 3 weeks. It's good fun.
Yeah. Well, I like that idea about, you know, warming up your voice with this short thing to go on and do other things. Is something I think I've talked about here before. I know I've talked about it for sure on, you know, other places before. But I mean, I do this often, right? Sometimes I did it just this morning. This morning I sat down. I was going to write up another chapter for the Apple Consulting Mineral Guide, which, by the way, people should get if they're at all interested in going into Mac consulting. So I was going to write another chapter for that. I sat down and I started to write it, and it just wasn't coming out right, and it just, you know, fits and starts and stuff like that. And the best thing you can do in those cases, there's several good, great things you can do. But walking away, just, you know, if something's not coming, leave it alone. Leave it alone for a while. Come back to it. You're not ready for it. You're not ready to write it. And what I did was I wrote up some client notes for my client visit yesterday. And just the very act of kind of writing up those client notes and getting my fingers warmed up allows me to write something else. Sometimes I write an answer email in order to warm myself up for writing a post for my website, and vice versa, right? Sometimes I'll write the post in order to warm myself up for all of this email I have to respond to. So what you said about recording this short thing in order to warm yourself up for the many other larger things that you have to do throughout the day resonates with me.
It's good. It's interesting. And and it helps. It also just warms my technique up as opposed to my actual vocal cords, you know. And it just sets me in the mindset, right, this is time to record now. Not that I ever really had an issue with that, but it's nice to have it. The other thing that I've had this week, which has made this week really strange, is blogging. Which
mm-hmm.
is not... Me and blogging have a very weird love affair.
Mm-hmm.
She is
on again, off again.
She is a cruel mistress, and we have been on again and off again for many years, for many more years than I have been podcasting. And even since, I have a blog at mikehurley.net. which I've put a couple of things on. And you will see, if you look at it, you will see that there will always be spurts of maybe a few weeks, maybe a couple of months, where there's quite frequent posting. Mm-hmm. This week, I offered to one of my best friends in the entire world, Mr. Stephen Hackett, as he is taking a very much-needed break, which was provided by the Make-A-Wish Foundation for him and his family, which is an incredible, incredible thing.
Yeah, I just want to say, for anyone who's not aware, especially a lot of our international listeners, Make-A-Wish is an amazing organization. I mean, it just plain is. Here's what they do. They grant wishes to children with serious chronic and terminal illnesses. They grant their wishes, like any wish, like no wish is too big to grant, right? Like, you know, everything from I want to meet the Queen of England to, you know, I want to, you know, go to the zoo with, I don't know, with the Powerpuff Girls. I mean, they do it, right? You know, I mean, they figure out how to do it and they do it. Like I said, I can't imagine a better organization to support, to throw money at, to do whatever it takes to 'cause how wonderful is that?
Yep. And they're at Disney this week, which is amazing.
Yep. Disney World, right?
Yep. And I've been talking to Stephen, and I can't remember him being as relaxed as he is right now just through talking to him, which is very good because he is probably the hardest working person that I know.
Yeah, he works his tail off.
He does. And
so I know people are tired of hearing me talk about Disney, but gosh, if you want a place that is going to put you at ease with ultimate just reassurance and comfort and service at every level, Disney World is the place to go. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what it's like to go there courtesy of Make-A-Wish, because they have very special relationship with Disney.
Yeah, I'm sure they get him taken care of.
Disney rolls out the red carpet for everybody, but for the Make-A-Wish families, they go above and beyond. I mean, your experience at Disney as a Make-A-Wish family is like nothing that any other visitor receives.
Yep, I'm sure he'll have an awesome post or two, and we'll probably talk about it on the show. So he has filled in for me maybe two or three times for me to take vacations.
Yeah.
So it was, for me, like I didn't expect any other way than to help him, you know? So I've taken over I have, along with a couple of others, even though I think only I've posted so far. that scares me because I know that my stuff's about to get blown out of the water, like at any moment. We've taken over posting duties over at 512 for him, 512pixels.net, and also I'm going to be joined by Sean Blanc for the 512 podcast this week, which I'm very excited about, which we'll be recording tomorrow because
that should be really good.
Sean is the most charming and dashing man on the planet.
He's so good looking. He's mm-hmm. so cute.
He is.
I'm not even, you know, I don't swing that way. But Sean,
if come you
on.
Did,
come on now, that's a no-brainer right there, right?
He's I'm very much. I always enjoy talking to Sean, so we'll be talking this week. But anyway, blogging and me is very strange. I write a lot for a living now, as I do a lot of copywriting, so I don't think I'm a bad writer. I'm not the best. I mean, you know, I think it's a bad thing being friends with so many amazing writers now, because I thought I was a much better writer until I met you lot. But I don't think I'm bad. I think I can string some sentences together.
I think you're a perfectly fine writer, Michael.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be humble. Like, I think that I am maybe better than a lot of people, but I'm nowhere near, in my opinion, the standard of a lot of you guys, you know, like the Read and Trust folk. But anyway.
For one thing, that has a lot to do with just practice, right? It's not something that you do a whole lot of in this context. I know you do a fair amount of it for work, right?
Yeah, but it's a totally different type of writing.
Completely different type of writing. And you know, and so a big part of it is just sitting down and doing it. You know, I'm a demonstrably better writer than I was before I started writing for my website daily, right? I think I've improved tenfold in the past 2 weeks because I've literally been writing almost nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm not out at a client's working and I'm not spending time with my family, I'm writing. That's what I've been doing. You know, I've essentially been writing the equivalent of 2 to 3 posts a day, long form. You know, probably a good 2,000 to 3,000 words a day I'm putting out right now.
Which is an incredible amount of practice.
Yes, and that, you know, down to my point, which is it's just a matter of practice. And you have not practiced a whole lot as of late.
Exactly. It's just strange. I mean, I find it very strange. It's why, like, so I put an article out that I had spent some time on, which I was quite proud of, really.
It was really good.
Thank you. And it was just talking about one of the biggest things that I've learned in the last 3 years of podcasting and how it's been able to stop me from losing my mind. And I'll put that in the show notes.
It's called Why I Stopped Caring About the Numbers.
Yeah. And so, you know, talking about statistics and why they were driving me insane.
Mm-hmm.
But so I put it out there and I had a lot of people saying nice things, but any time there was a spelling error, I felt like my world crumbled in around me.
Oh,
I know, but I don't know why I felt that way.
My website?
I know they're everywhere. I spot them, but it was like, and you know what it is? Is I am very used to now creating things, content, and putting them out into the world. I am very used to that. I do it. I put many hours, if you were to transcribe it, thousands and thousands of words a week I put out into the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm very used to that, but mm-hmm. nobody corrects me meticulously because people don't do that. You get corrected if you say something really wrong. But if I say, I'm trying to think of a way to screw up a sentence. So if I don't know, if I crew up a sentence, okay, so mm-hmm. I drop the S there,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure people will now, but nobody would have contacted me and said, you misspoke that word in that sentence. You misspoke that.
Yeah, it is interesting.
And you should change that. Or our good friend, Mr. Longstride, of Sweating Commas, said that he picked out a spelling error and said it was a very strange spelling error because the phrase that I basically said stream of conscience and not stream of consciousness. And I always thought the term was stream of conscience. But anyway.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I just had always said it wrong. So as is with me, and people say that they think this is a good thing, but I think it's just me. Because I'm used to it, I write how I speak because mm-hmm. I have a voice, I guess, that I use, so I just write that.
Yeah.
And that was like very embarrassing. I was very embarrassed by it. And it was like a very strange, like he didn't do anything wrong. He was just pointing it out as people do. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, that's just the way that writing is, but I'm not used to that. People don't do that to me usually. It feels very weird. And also as well, if I write something and put it on mikehurley.net, nobody goes there because there isn't frequent stuff. People go there every day if they search for me. So there's always a few people there. But there's not thousands of people. Thousands of people go to Stephen's website, and that terrifies me. Even though I'm sure that, you know, there are people, you know, some of our shows come close to his readership.
Or maybe I would imagine so.
It's again, it's so different because they don't really correct me on those little on the minutia, and that is a thing that is different for me. So it's like, you know, imagine imagine you are Joe Blogs and you go start a Squarespace site and you set up a blog and your first post is read by 15,000 people. That's quite daunting, right?
It is
daunting, I think. You might not feel that because you're used to that, but for me that's very different. It's just something I'm quite insecure about, especially because I do operate in a world full of writers. I mean, I am a podcaster in a world of writers.
Yeah.
That is because everybody wants to be a writer, and I've commented this on a few times. I find it strange that everybody wants to write on the internet, that so many people want to write on the internet, and it doesn't make sense to me because I found my thing. I did want to write. I was one of those people, but I think podcasting is much more fun.
And I think, for some people, video is that thing, right?
Exactly. Everybody has their duck.
I mean, the fact is that the internet is ultimately about communication, no matter what we're talking about, however that communication happens, whether it happens visually, whether it happens artistically, whether it happens directly through speaking or writing or video or what have you. I mean, it's a communication platform. It's a communication medium. It's been that from the beginning. That's how it was conceived, and that's how it is today. And I think that in order to participate, everyone has to participate in at least one way, method of communication or another, right? And it just so happens that writing, even at 140 characters at a time, is the one thing that most of us in the modern connected world know how to do. I think it will be very interesting when we start to see how those without the same level of literacy and competency start to use and embrace the internet as connection becomes ubiquitous and cheap. And by ubiquitous and cheap, I mean, tribes in sub-Saharan Africa,
when it has to be minimally cheap.
Right.
And ridiculously ubiquitous.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And whether or not, there will be a Twitter for video or a Twitter for voice for those people that can't even put two letters together, if that makes sense. I mean, because that does account for a too large a majority of the world, right? I wouldn't say majority, a too large
piece
of the world, right? Where there effectively is no real reading and writing skill. It'll just be interesting going forward.
I agree.
That said, I mean, just if I could say anything at all, and this is as much a message for you, Michael, as is for everyone else out there listening, is that all of us make spelling errors. I can't tell you how many errors I correct after publishing a post. And not just ones that people point out to me, ones I see myself. I've discussed this before, where I just do not see certain spelling errors, certain dropped letters, that sort of thing. I cannot see them until they're published. And even then, I may read over it 1,000 times and not see them. I just had one just yesterday with my post about getting paid, where I used hour instead of year and talking about, someone who's, making $100,000
an hour.
an hour is probably pretty comfortable. And yes, they would be.
Yes, they would definitely.
They'd definitely be very comfortable. But no, I meant year. I mean, I do things like that all the time. It's okay. Not to sweat it too much.
Yeah, like I did the same. I just published a quick link piece and I read it twice before I published it. And then after I published it, read it twice and corrected two different errors on each reading. It's very strange.
So I suppose we probably have someone we gotta thank here, right?
Yeah, we should do that. We should definitely thank our lovely sponsors over at squarespace.com. If you are not as terrified as me to start a blog, then maybe Squarespace can give you. They definitely can, but maybe you should take a look at them because they give you absolutely everything you need to make an amazing website. They provide you with hosting. They have great design. They have beautiful templates, which you can enable onto any Squarespace site. They have, if you get linked to by a big site, you know, a site like Patrick's, like Minimal Mac or something like that, they have great scaling so your site doesn't slow down, doesn't go down. They have integration with social services like Twitter and Facebook. They have great page building tools like Layout Engine, which allow you to create custom layouts in seconds. If you have people coming to your site, and the reason that I know that people go to MikeHurley.net is because of the built-in statistics and analytics on my Squarespace site there. And I can view these on my iOS and Android apps, as well as post on the go from them too. You can import content from your current blog if you have one, and you can easily set up the sharing with social media accounts. So if you post a new article, you can have it tweet for you, which is very good. 24/7 customer support, live online workshops as well to help you learn everything you need about Squarespace. And if you have any questions, you can contact those methods. They've also have Squarespace Commerce, where you can add a fully integrated store. So if you want to sell something online, you can add a fully integrated store into your website, instantly start accepting payments. You can manage your inventory, process customer orders, and much, much more in their great Squarespace Commerce features. I want you to go and check this out and find out more at squarespace.com/70decibels, where you can sign up for a free trial. Squarespace plans start at $10 a month for their standard plan and $20 a month for a limited plan. If you sign up for a year, you'll get 20% off. If you sign up for 2 years, you'll get 25% off if you pay up front. And use the code 70decibels for 70 decibels and the number 4 for 10% off your first order on top of any other purchase. So go check out Squarespace, everything you need to make an amazing website.
Yeah.
So the big 200 next week.
Yeah, I know. I've got to warn folks, we literally have nothing planned for 200.
No, I mean, we did a big 100 episode. I guess that, I don't know, we'll just...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe this. Don't worry. I've got a couple of ideas.
Okay.
We'll figure something out.
So shall I tell people where to go to find you?
Yeah. Good. So folks can find me at patrickroan.com. Can email me at patrick@patrickroan.com. I'm Patrick Roan on just about every network you can think of. I've got to give a plug again. Hey, if you are at all interested in being an Apple consultant, nay, any freelance business, because most of, I would say 95% of what I write about in my latest little minimal guide is applicable to any freelance business. I plan to be writing even more on this in the future. I'm kind of writing a much higher level book about this right now. But the bottom line is this, as I said on last week's show, now is the perfect time. If you are considering becoming a business of one, a freelancer, not have to work for the man, I couldn't more highly recommend my cheap at any price, yet only $5 minimal guide for to take a look at, and like I've said, it's a living guide where one can can download it and have it to read. And I'm not done writing it. So as I write no more chapters, I release those, and you can download the new version. It's a great thing, and $5 gets you that, gets you everything. We'll get you the book until I finally finish it, which I don't know when that'll happen. I keep finding things to say. So, and Michael, what about you?
I am iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, on app.net and Twitter. I don't have anything to sell, but if you are if you are a fan of the music of Mr. Jonathan Coulton, then you will want to check out Command Space this week, because he will be my guest.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
I cannot even begin to explain how much that scares me. But that is something else, totally different, because I am a huge fan of his music. Yeah. And as when I interviewed Jonathan Roderick, who is I'm also a huge fan of Mr. John Roderick of The Long Winters, it's very different talking to a musician rather than a geeky nerd.
Yeah.
It's just different, even though they are both geeky people, and it's why, you know, they will come on my show. I've seen Jonathan Coulton play in concert, so that is different. Yeah, I have sat in a cathedral, a church. I've sat in a church and saw him play a gig in front of however many people were there, and yeah, that's very strange. And I have sung loudly to his music. So very, very, very excited about that. And I hope that it goes well.
And of course, you know, as we discussed earlier, you're on every day on the news.
Yep.
These days. So people should tune in and check that out if they want a quick little audio recap of the latest technology news daily in their podcast inboxes. That's the place to go and get your quick fix. It's perfect for those of us with very short commutes, like mine, up the two flights of stairs. I can usually start at the beginning and the bottom of the stairs. By the time I get to the top, it's nearly done. So
between 5 and 10 minutes every day, and you can find that at 5by5.tv/ the news.
All right. You said you had nothing to sell, and there you go. You just sold news. Two things.
5by5.tv/news, not the news. But we'll be back next week for the illustrious 200th episode.
We will.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, sir. We'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers. Mm-hmm.